This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Run by somebody not as great as the city. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. Yeah, we're going there today, all right? We're going there today. Well, we do have break news out of the gate, though, Bart. So let's get the number out there. Let's let them know how they can be part of the conversation. And let's get to the breaking news.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 1-800-919-3776. Once again, it's 1-800-919-3776. Get to the lines early and often because it's going to be a great show. We can call it a bit of the buffet with the breaking news. But if you can't get us on the phone, you go ahead and grab us on Bart and Han at the tweet. If you can't get us on the tweet, you can get us on the Instagram, DM Allen exclusively with your navel pics and your back tattoos, low back tattoos. And if you can't get us there, Bill, tell them where they can find us.
Snap face, instant chat, or whatever it is.
Absolutely. Then only I think Bill has Cam Newton blocked, and you only can find him on blackplanet.com.
He's on some planet, maybe, if he doesn't play any better, but never mind that. In the NFL, we do have some news, and it's local,
and
it involves the New York Football Giants. They put out a statement just before the show. Late last night, we were notified that a Giants player tested positive for COVID-19. Wow. The player was immediately self-isolated, and the contact tracing process was initiated. All the player's close contacts were identified and were informed to remain home today. Those individuals will participate in meetings remotely. We are working closely with the NFL's chief medical officer regarding the next protocol steps, and that the training center will remain open. The rest of the team will follow the normal practice and meeting schedule. Remember, the Giants don't play till Monday night against the Bucks on Monday Night Football. Now, it's being reported that the player, and Jordan Renan has this along with several others, is Will Hernandez, the offensive lineman, the second-year offensive lineman. So he's the one placed on the COVID list. And several of the offensive linemen were told to stay home. So basically practicing without an offensive line today.
They should be used to that.
I knew that joke was coming. Other coaches also,
John Stock,
by the way.
You throw the layup, John Stock. You expect me not to take it?
I just threw that one up for you. But two other coaches also have tested positive. So the Giants dealing with this right now, but are trying to obviously work their way through it. And we'll see where it goes. But, Bart, this is, I think, we've reached that point now in sports where we're kind of just, like, when these things happen, I don't know if we're going through that whole, like, gasp and panic anymore. It's sort of like, all right, handle it and move forward.
Exactly. You have to have a plan for it, right? We saw this last week alone just with the Raiders and what happened with them with Brown testing positive and the whole offensive lineman, the whole offensive line having to cancel or self-isolate as well. Mm-hmm. The contact trace, all was well with the other lineman. The game was played. But whenever you hear this, right, you know now what the new protocol is what was the player doing, where did he get it from, and was it negligence on the Giants' end, right? And we go back automatically to the pictures of Saquon.
Well, that's the first thing people thought.
Would Danny Dimes, right?
Yeah, would it be those guys? And fortunately, that's not, right? That's not what we're
That's not what we're talking about.
And, we don't have to worry about that. Right.
But that's what you have to worry about. And at this point, every team has to have some type of protocol in place. And I think that they really have to start thinking about maybe separating guys. When I say separating guys, as you prepare for practice, keeping your backups away from your starters as far as meetings, keeping your starters away from your backups as far as lifting weights. You have to start – because you got to start separating the ones from the twos. Your backup quarterback should never be in the same room with your starting quarterback. should never lift at the same time, because if you want to, if guys are going to get infected, you want it to be spread out throughout the different position groups, because if you lose an entire position group, then what is the NFL going to do? What is the team going to do? Mm-hmm. And you get back into that fine line of, do they have to forfeit the game? And if that's being said, then nobody gets paid from both teams, and then who do you hold accountable for making sure that the team that has no positive test still gets compensation?
And the fact that they play Monday, I think, is not, you know, is also something you got to feel like. All right, you get a day. I don't know. I'm trying to downplay this because I just feel like this has become part of our normal.
It is.
You know, like, I don't think this is one of those things where you just start to panic and shut it all down and all that stuff. I just think it's okay. Yeah. Isolate them. See who they were connected to. That's why the NFL put all these protocols in, and you move on from here. You know, I just like, and the problem, of course, will be their offensive line's already been kind of shaky, is how it impacts Monday's game if these players are cleared. And I mean, Hernandez, technically, if he tested positive, he's in the protocol, right? He's not going to be available for Monday.
Right. Exactly.
Unless, of course, they do a second test and, you know, we go through the whole thing again.
We go with the Nick Saban. The Nick Saban thing.
Punch you right in the face.
But I tell you what, you know, like, you know, it's happening all over in all kinds of sports. I mean, how would you like to be the Wisconsin team who's going to forfeit because in the Big Ten, their protocol, if you test positive, it is no testing out like the SEC. If you test positive, you're done for 2 weeks. So that whole team has, I think, 12 cases. You know, so listen, we knew that this was going to be part of the narrative and we're going to fight through it. We understand now with the colder weather coming, especially in the colder climates in the colder, mm-hmm. you know, states, you're starting to see it, you know, outbreak a little bit more than, say, the southern states where the heat is still rampant because people are still allowed and able to eat outside, still able to socially distance. But now you have people, you know, students going to school, you have football teams and basketball teams on the local level, Pee-wee league teams are still playing, and it's going to have more of these outbreaks, and we just have to understand that this is what we have to live with right now if we're going to keep our sports going.
And speaking of keeping sports going, let's move on to the other story of the day. And again, 800-919-3776 is the number. And this is one that has caused really a lot of outrage, Bart. And it might be a complete facade. It might be just swinging it. It's all this is. There's nothing to this. If you ask anyone in the know, I've talked to lawyers this morning about it, and I've asked several other people, and it's really all depending on which media outlet you read, of course. But the New York Post did report last night, and this has been slipped out there a little bit, but it's become now a thing, that the mayor, Bill de Blasio, is in the process of looking into whatever ways the mayor's office can block the ability of Steve Cohen to complete the sale and take over as owner of the Mets. Because of some stipulation in the Citi Field lease, because that is city-owned land. And so he has some say that's built in on ownership transfer. And for some reason, now the statement from the mayor's office is that it's just due diligence. But others that are whispering to the Post and other media outlets are saying, no, he's got an issue with Cohen, and he's breaking balls, basically, Bard. That's the easiest way, the only way I could put it. That's what he's doing.
Man,
you know, whether or not he can actually legally go all the way to a point, because this will turn into a whole appeals process. This will get ugly. And what you really don't want to do, or I don't think anybody wants, I mean, I'm not a city taxpayer. I don't live in the city, so it doesn't affect me personally. But I can't imagine anybody in the city is like, oh, yeah, I want taxpayer money to be spent on fighting an ownership transfer of a franchise where I would say 99% of the fan base is waiting with bated breath for this man to take over as their owner. It's incredible to me. He still has to go through more. How many hurdles does Steve Cohen have to go through to take over a franchise that has been poorly run for so many years? And all he's going to do is put money into it and bring some type of civic pride to this city for one of its sports teams, for a guy that anticipates to spend a lot of money and run the franchise the right way. Okay? And now we're going to get in the way of this? The most self-aggrandizing thing I have ever seen a mayor do outside of Giuliani sitting right next to Joe Torre with a Yankee hat on during the World Series. Other than that, I mean, like, it's just beyond comprehension why this would even be something you would want to make public. it's bad enough your city has reached the depths of Dinkins era New York. That's how desperate, that's the despair this place is in right now.
Yeah.
And you're going to make this public. This is your act. This is what you're going to do. So disingenuous of this guy. And again, even if it's just a ploy, even if you know deep down, I can't really do this, but we have this. Let's look into it. Let's just create that discomfort. Let me just nudge this dude. That's all it is. I just want to flex. That's all this is going to be. Let's do it. Let's do it just to bother him. This is the same thing as before he was mayor, when the NBA was going to have the All-Star game in New York City.
Yeah.
And he's a Brooklyn guy, right? So he petitioned the commissioner's office in the NBA, David Stern and Adam Silver, to not have the game played at Madison Square Garden. He wanted it at Barclays. And he gave all these reasons, and he was going after Dolan about it. And it's like, yo, what the hell do you have to say about this?
Right.
Shut the hell up. The league is bringing the game and all this money into the city. And you want to cause some problems with this? And now you're talking about a franchise that so many people love, including my mother. God bless her. She loves the Mets. I don't know why, but she does. And you're going to mess with her fandom now? You're going to mess with her hopes? Not on my watch, Sonny. Not on my watch. It's bad enough this place has gone to complete shambles since you have taken over. And it's beyond comprehension that you got reelected. But now you're going to do something like this and try to flex. And all you're doing is making people miserable in your city. Yeah. Miserable.
Making it about you. He's making it about himself, man. Like, he's injecting himself into the decision when he should just stand back and be happy that somebody's going to come here and invest billions of dollars and going to try and create jobs and create higher-paying jobs. You know, you talk about, you know, we were talking to Buster yesterday. What did Buster say? It's a lot of executives, a lot of smart guys that are unemployed right now because people are cutting back their payroll. They're cutting back their staff. And he's a guy that wants to cherry pick and bring in smart people so we can put a good product out here so that we can get fans' excitement. And when fans are excited, they spend money. Right? When we talk about being able to sell out City Field, talking about being able to create some excitement, some joy around here in the midst of a year where it's been down for everybody. Everybody's trying to just stay positive, stay afloat. And we've been wishing. And how many times have we done radio, Alan, in this market, and people have called up and complained about the Mets, complain about what's going on, trying to complain about everything that they wish that the Mets would do, the Wilpons would sell. Well, damn it, the Wilpons are willing to sell, and we're willing to have an opportunity to be able to be able to be big spenders, to not be the little brother of the Yankees when it comes to financially, to be able to match them free agent for free agent, to create that rivalry, to make that Subway Series something that's a fair fight. Because guess what? We all playing on the same level playing field. I can get the same players, and I have access to the same players that you have access to. That's not only good for baseball, that's great for the city, to bring up the joy so people who don't have to be closet Met fans, they can proudly wear their jerseys. They can go out with their Darryl Strawberries. They can go out with their DeGrom jerseys. They can go out with their Dom Smiths. Yeah, I said it. The Dom Smith jersey that should be the number one jersey in all the Mets, you know, all of the Mets. And he wants to take that away, or he wants to cause pause or hesitance or make people upset just because he can flex. That is a sign of a narcissist. That's a sign of a very, very, like, that's a sign of, like,
that's a sign of somebody lacking something.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to
say it in the right way without getting us habitually to get us thrown off the station. But you know what I'm saying?
I don't care, man.
He's compensating for something.
This stuff can't happen. Not now. We're in the midst of a pandemic. This shouldn't even be top 20 in your priority list, dude. This shouldn't even be on the docket. Not at all. I'll deal with that another time. This is not something you jump all over. You're telling me, oh, no, I got to protect this franchise from a guy that has maybe a checkered past, and I got to protect. You got to protect him from what? From what?
From spending money?
You're going to protect him from that? All right, so let's then instead go the other direction, right? If this is what this is about, and it's what some people are suggesting, that it's, A, you're trying to, like, what is it? This is what I want to know. Tell me. And my beautiful mother, Michelle, tell me, what is stopping you from allowing this? Why do you have to step in? Why? Because you think it's either I want to put some money in my pocket, so let me get Steve Cohen to have to, like, give me some shut-up money? Is that what you want? Are you trying to? Is this an embezzlement thing? Because that's what a lot of people think. Is that what you're doing? So you're is that what you're doing? Because tell the people of New York what you're doing and why. Because no one understands this. No one. You need to explain. If this is going to be out there, don't put out some statement. It's just due diligence.
Are the reports
you're full of
true?
Crap due diligence. It's not that. This is your swinging it. So either you want money in your pocket or you want A-Rod and J-Lo to have the team. One way or another, you should say that then. Don't be so disingenuous and call it due diligence. You're full of crap if it's due diligence. Because there's plenty more you should be put. There's so much to keep you busy that this shouldn't even be on the docket.
Right. The pandemic and making sure that, you know, guys are feeling safe on the MTA. You know, make sure they're traveling, worrying about the budget and worrying about how we're going to replace some of the income that we lost so that the city can manage. Worrying about this new wave coming. He wants to worry about baseball.
How about the exodus? How about worry about the fact that rent is plummeting? Why? Nobody wants to live here anymore.
Money there to keep you busy.
That's right. Now, I love Mike Vaccaro. I mean, he's the voice of the city. He's a columnist at the Post. And he is. He's the poet laureate of New York City sports. That's what he is. I'll say it. And he had this great, this is the line. This is the line of the column that he wrote in today's Post. It's already a given that he will be remembered as among the most vainglorious mayors. Love that word. To ever walk the corridors of City Hall. Now it seems he wants to make sure he adds a few more million aggrieved and aggravated citizens in his wake. Vainglorious. X-Clan.
Give him the gas face.
And glorious. Like, I love that word. But that's it in a nutshell right there. And that's what I don't understand. That's what angers me. I cannot understand for the life of me why this is the issue now. Why now? This is the issue. Jerry Reinsdorf, you have a problem with him. Whatever. You're an owner. You probably don't like the fact that this guy's coming in and he's $10 billion richer than anybody else in the league. You don't like that. You don't want somebody coming in throwing money around, and you know he will because he's aggressive. So nobody wants that. I understand when other owners in other cities might want to step in and block this thing, might want to say, don't really want to have a guy like that in my league because I'm afraid that this guy's willing to do anything to win.
He's going to raise the
and
price.
Absolutely. I get that. He's going to need 22 of 29 votes. That's what he's going to need to become officially the owner. But in all of that, you go through all those hurdles, and then the mayor's going to come in and just throw one more. He's just going to try to trip you before the finish line just because he can. Just because he can. You'll still crawl to the finish line, but he just wants to trip you for it. Now, what kind of leadership is that? And that's why the city's where it is, because attitude reflects leadership. 800-919-3776 is the number.
Tell him why you're mad, son.
I did. And now I want to hear how the fans feel as well. 800-919-3776. We begin with John in Valley Stream. Go, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? I've been listening to you since day one, been working through the pandemic. I drive a truck in the city and the boroughs. The last couple of days, I'm noticing storefronts boarding up their windows.
Yep.
I guess, you know, expected another riot. And regardless of whatever de Blasio says, the city is a complete ghost town. Things are just closed. Bars that I grew up going to are gone. And this guy has the audacity to step in and even take 3 minutes to ingest himself into a business deal with the Mets. Like, I just don't get it. This guy needs to go. He's needed to go. There is 58 things I could sit here right now and name on a list that need to be beyond fixable and beyond. And these are the things he needs to address, and he's yet to address any of them. Right. I've sat here since the pandemic, driving, working in the city, and just watched it just destroyed. And it breaks my heart. And what makes, and I'm a Yankee fan. And for this guy to step in and even open his mouth about anything sports related,
John, that's exactly,
I just don't get it.
John, what you just said is exactly how I feel. And then I add the part when you just said at the end, and I'm a Yankees fan. I shouldn't care about this. I should be like, good. Let the Mets now go through this mess. I should want this for the Mets, but I don't.
Well,
because it's a mockery of what we're this city. It's a mockery. It's a microcosm of what we've become as a city. And oh, by the way, he's a freaking Red Sox fan, and he's open about it.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Alan, but I'm a not only am I a Yankee fan, I'm also a diehard New Yorker. And what's going on and what's taking place? I mean, just yesterday I passed the NBA store. This morning I had a delivery, and it's all boarded up because
it's
they're
despair.
Ready.
It's despair. It's exactly right.
It's disgusting, and it's so sad. It breaks my heart. And this guy and the girl are getting involved with A-Rod and J-Lo, like, who are living 75 floors above the world, and this is what they're talking about.
Cohen lives in Connecticut. It's less. Though, I'll tell you what, John, and thanks for the call. I appreciate the passion, man. And be safe out there while you're driving.
And
listen,
that's a voice of the streets, right? So he's living it every day. He sees what it was, and he sees what it used to, what it is now. He knows what it used to be, and like you know. We're doing the show from the comfort of our home, so we're not on the streets. We don't see the difference. He's a delivery service.
And I miss that, Bart. Like, I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm done. I joke about the commute. It's great. I go downstairs. I get myself set up. I'm fine. I miss it. I liked being in the city to do shows. I like walking on the streets. I like being in the subway talking to fans when they see me, and we talk about sports, and I get the feel of what people are thinking. I miss all of it. I feel so detached from it. It's driving me crazy. You know, so you want to be out there. And that's why I love when we get calls, because you get the feel of the people who are out there. You need to know what they're thinking and feeling. And oh, by the way, if you're a leader of a city, you need to be doing that. Get the pulse. Understand, this is not the hill to die on, Mayor. There's plenty others for you to do that on. And I still can't believe you're still there. My word. All right. Anyways, 800-919-3776 is the number. You know where we're going. You know where we're going from here. Okay. Now, There's more statements out. We'll get to all the detail. We'll try to keep it as balanced as possible, but you can tell I'm pissed off. And Bart, I apologize because I probably gave you like two words
Get it off your chest.
I tell you, I look my mother.
I live in Jersey.
World Series.
That's your mayor.
Like, it's just, I feel we're a city and we're run, like, it's just ridiculous what's happening here. It's ridiculous. I can't even begin. But you know what? At our station, we continue to kill it. And the K-Show, as you know, remains number one. And we've got a contest starting on the K-Show. The 20 and 20, Bart, starts 3 o'clock today. So you want to listen for your chance to win. They've got 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home, which we're all in a lot more than we want to be, a little more enjoyable. The 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak. I like this place, the Bartesian. Premiums cocktails, like the Bartesian. It's almost like you own this.
I need
Bartesian
one right now,
premiums,
man.
N98.7 ESPN.
October 31st, this Saturday, as the two boxers in the two best boxers in the world go head to head in the fight of the year candidate. I can't say fight of the year candidate. I got to make sure I put that down there, because it only takes place if they make it take place. Don't miss Devontae Tank Davis as he takes on Santa Cruz on live on pay-per-view Saturday, October 31st. Davis and Santa Cruz will be a rare clash in boxing history in the world titles, in which two world weight class titles are at stake. For a chance to watch the fight on us, text Showtime to 44202 again. Text Showtime, not Alan, not me, to 44202, and we'll give one listener the pay-per-view access code. Purchase the Showtime pay-per-view on their Showtime app or on their smart TV or connected device. Order online at Showtime.com or contact your cable TV or satellite provider to get this Clash of the Titans, man. I'm telling you what, we're going to see Money Mayweather in the corner. But we're going to see Santa Cruz's father, who's had some health ailments, and we know what happens when fighters fight inspired for their daddy. Yo, somebody got to die.
You keep doing it. You keep putting a little extra. You got me now.
I'm a warrior.
Can't wait to see this fight now, all because of the way you're setting it up. All right, before we get to Blitzer Prevent, just a little bit of we'll put a bow on the de Blasio Cohen Mets debacle. And the latest here from the Post is the mayor this morning saying that the review of the Cohen ownership transfer, he said it's not personal. The quote is this, again, via the New York Post. It's our land. There is a legal requirement that if there's an ownership change, it has to be evaluated. Some folks trying to ascribe it to personal feelings. It's not. And then asked of his personal opinion of Cohen, De Blasio told the Post that it wasn't appropriate to comment. He said, we're in the middle of a legal review. It's not appropriate to be commenting on the people involved. And then that was basically it. And he didn't say if there would be a decision at all by Friday. I'll tell you, this is just, I mean, it's just, that's it. He's just busting chops. It's all this feels like at this point. It's annoying. And that's what we seem to keep getting out of this leadership. All right, enough of that. We appreciate everybody's calls and passion on this. But right now, let's get back into the world of sports and other headlines in Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
You ready for this, Bart?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go, because we got a couple of them to get to. And the first one, just quickly, NBA, as we know, proposing a 72-game season coming up for 2021. Reportedly could start December 22nd, Christmas Day being a big day for it. December 1st was when camps would begin. And they're going to have, they're trying to talk with the union actually this week about it and put a sort of soft date for Friday as a decision they need in time. In The Athletic, however, Michelle Roberts, who is the head of the players union, pushed back saying, we're not going to be rushed into a decision, and said that given all that's been resolved between now and the 22nd, factoring in financial risks and everything else, it defies common sense that it can all be done in time. Doesn't mean it won't, but right now it feels like December 22nd, Christmas, is too soon. We know LeBron feels about it, and we've heard other players push back on restarting that quickly as well. So Blitz or Prevent, as I've been saying all along, Martin Luther King Day, which is January 18th, would be the obvious starting date that I think everybody can agree on.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and you talk about Christmas Day. We're talking about basically about 18 more days, two more weeks. Allows the players to be home with their kids for Christmas, mm-hmm. so that they can say, hey, we did our due diligence. Okay, daddy got to go to work, so to speak. Even though they're not going to be in a bubble, they're going to be there. So you can still wake up and have, you know, Christmas. Not every team is going to start on Christmas Day. But that's the argument that they will make, right? The symbolic gesture of making sure that you're with your family and having the season start on the other side of the year, you know, 2021. So, you know, and this is a little bit more about LeBron and trying to probably find a happy compromise between, okay, I don't want to start on the 25th. Okay, we'll give you two more weeks.
Right.
You can't say nothing after that. So giving you three extra weeks. So you're right, Alan. I think that's probably the more likely day. And then if they want to keep with the social justice things, having it on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, it seems fitting on many levels. Yeah. I feel the same way. So we'll see where it goes. It's only a couple weeks, like you said. I can't imagine. I know the owners really want Christmas Day for broadcasting and the finances of it. You're not going to have fans in the building, so it's not about selling tickets. This is more about broadcasting and getting your product back out there.
Well, understand.
So they might have to give that up in return. Yeah. Well, we'll start on that on Martin Luther King Day and go from there. You're not going up against the NFL either way. Yeah. So you don't even have to worry about that.
Well, understanding that, you know, if the game doesn't start on Christmas Day, isn't a Sunday, I'm assuming.
It's a Friday.
So what you're talking about is no NFL, and you know that's the opportunity when everybody is home, and what are they going to do? They're going to watch basketball.
Well, no, it's a huge day. It's in the fabric
of America.
You're right.
Christmas Day symbolizes the official start of the NBA.
Yeah, and for ESPN and Turner, you kind of want that, but you might not get it. You might have to wait, so we'll see what happens from there. All right. So Justin Turner, as we talked about, violated the coronavirus protocols, according to Major League Baseball, because he went out and celebrated with his teammates and refused instructions from security to leave the field. And now Major League Baseball said it risked the safety of others. They put out a statement saying that they're starting a full investigation into this whole thing. And they really did put it on Turner, saying that he was the one who refused. He chose to disregard the agreed upon joint protocols and instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. While the desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came in contact with at risk. And so they said he emphatically refused to comply. Buster only said that sources are telling him Turner could face a suspension, but there's no precedent for one, of course. Yeah, so they don't really know how he's going to handle it, and that they're going to investigate more into whether officials from the Dodgers and personnel helped to facilitate his return to the field. So Blitz or Prevent, is this solely on Justin Turner for refusing to comply, or does MLB have some accountability here to control the situation from the start? Meaning, why let him play in the game?
Exactly. Meaning that if he had an inconclusive test, then he should have been forced to wait. It should have been a picture of him running out to the game at, you know, in the eighth inning. Not one him being removed because he would have got the clearance. Oh, I got a bet. I can DH. I can do something. Yeah. You know what I mean? It should have been that image. The fact that they, you know, took the chance that he might be positive and let him go and play the game and then find out he's positive later to confirm that, then that's on, that is on MLB. But also with him, it's funny how Algieri, after winning the championship, had to pull out his credentials, and he almost got in a chokehold, and this dude just running out telling people, no, I'm not going to listen. They should have. It would have been funny to have his ass tased.
He's trying to celebrate. Security just tackled him when he's trying to celebrate. What a moment that would have been.
And tased him. That would have been hilarious.
All right, so into the NFL. Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey been practicing this week, but will not return tonight for Thursday Night Football for the Carolina Panthers.
Smart.
He had that high ankle sprain.
Smart.
The Panthers are playing your Falcons at 1-6. So he'll probably return next week against the Kansas City Chiefs. So
you need him more for that.
He has it, yeah.
Beat the Falcons. You should be able to beat the Falcons.
Right. So blitz or prevent?
Blitz.
Let me ask you this. Has McCaffrey been a bigger loss for the Panthers, by the way, middle of the pack in offense and 11th in passing without him, or fantasy owners who took him number one overall?
It was fantasy owners because you think about what the job that Mike Davis has done. He became a thing. He became everybody's favorite running back, especially, you know, after getting cut, you know, I think in 2019 from the Chicago Bears. He's been a fantasy delight. So if you picked him up, you know, if you picked him up when you lost McCaffrey, then he held his own because he's one of the best fantasy running backs during that period of time. Robbie Anderson is third in the league in receiving. I mean, who thought we'd say that? He's only like maybe 40 yards behind DeAndre Hopkins. So good job on that one. Just continues to just throw mud in the face as we watch Perryman get scraped up by Carlos Hyde. But anyway, I digress. You know, I think
my man Teddy B though.
Starting to push the ball down the field.
Love him.
Also, when I said that Teddy B, you know, could have been, you know, a cheaper option for the Cowboys, everybody looked at me like I was crazy. But all he's doing is having a great season in his first season, you know, with, you know, the Panthers. So, you know, to each his own, but, you know, definitely the loser in this one, maybe, you know, was, you know, the squad and not the fantasy owners. Because if you picked up Mike Davis because he was smart, picked him up on the waiver wire, you did good.
There you go, if you paid attention. All right, last but not least, NFL moving forward with plans for the Super Bowl, but with a reduced capacity in the crowd. It'll be February 7th, even if the league ultimately adds an 18th week to the regular season to make up for any lost games. So at this point, they're planning to go 20% capacity at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, which normally holds 65,000 fans. With temporary seating, its capacity could be enlarged actually to 75,000 for a big event like the Super Bowl. So instead, they'll go 20%. Fans will be in pods 6 feet apart, and masks will be required. Now, during the regular season, the NFL has left attendance decisions to home teams in conjunction with state and local authorities, and half the league's teams have had paid attendance for at least one game, and the Bucs have had an average of 10,000 fans at two home games. So, blitz or prevent? The NBA and NHL played championships without fans in the building. Baseball's World Series had a limited capacity. They just finished it, and it looked different. But will it not feel like the Super Bowl without a capacity crowd?
You know what? I tell you what. If you listen to some of these college games, Alan, like, you can't tell if they're not showing the crowd that it's not a bunch of crazy psychos in there. The problem is sometimes when you talk about the Super Bowl, you get these corporate dudes that have etiquette, and they're not going stir crazy. I want the Duke crazy. I want the Cameron crazies in there. I want the people that's going to have their chest painted. I think, you know, you let those guys come in, and you'll get they'll make up for the lack of sound with there. And plus, you can pipe in sound, but I just hope that he get a good DJ.
Before we get to audio files, let's take Spike in New Jersey. Spike, how are you?
Okay, boys.
What's happening?
All right. Gotta get the music. I'm saying, here's what I think. This mayor's going to go down as the worst mayor in the history of New York. He's got so many more important things. That truck driver hit a chord with me going by the NBA store, which, as you can imagine, I frequented often. And it just breaks my heart to hear it. What's he wasting his time on this for? He's got so much. You've got so many problems.
Well, it's because he can. He said, we own the land. It's our due diligence. This is what we're supposed to do and all that stuff. You can do it, but why public? Why make it a public thing?
Why turn it
into this?
His wife finally, she was going to run for borough president.
Swinging it around, man.
I know, man. There's more important things, and there's a lot going on, and who knows what's going to be next Tuesday. Let's get it together. And these kids, everyone's a kid to me, as you know. Working in the stores, you go. I know kind of where you live, Bart. And you go to Morristown. You frequent those. You go into those shops, and when you leave, do you really think? I know I do. I'm sure you do. I'm saying this rhetorically. I feel bad for those people. The germs are everything. I really feel bad for it. But let me get off this topic for a half a second. I want to just throw this in. I want your opinion, Alan, and yours too, Bart. Alan, do you think that Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers can teach Ben Simmons how to shoot?
I don't think it's going to matter. It's not going to matter. I'm telling you.
He's going to be a small forward now, right?
Well, here's the thing. They don't bring Daryl Morey into the Sixers for him to just sit back and just sort of advise and offer some idea. The guy can't sit still without tearing the roster
doer.
Up.
Yeah, he's a doer.
He's a doer. That's a great way to put it. He's a doer. He's a guy that sees, let me remake this thing. Let's make something here. Let's create some action. I've said this about Daryl. He's the GM you want your team to have because you're always in the action.
Okay. Right?
So I can't see them leave. To have Embiid and Simmons together, everyone outside of Philadelphia agrees that is not – that they just don't fit. They're not compatible. So who do you keep and who do you trade? And what do you get for these guys? You know, that's something I'm curious to see over the next, couple of weeks, months, whatever, what ends up happening there. Because if I'm Doc, I don't take that job if you're going to tear up the roster and give me something that I got to develop and build. So you're not trading them for young guys.
Three things.
You're trying to trade them. You're trading stars for stars. And we'll see, obviously what that turns into. And it's funny, we bring that up because Stephen A. had an interesting thing to say this morning about what Philly should do, and that's coming up right now, Bart, in Audio Files.
The Audio File.
But we'll get to that in a moment. First, to football. We haven't spent a lot of time on this, Bart, but as we know, Odell Beckham Jr. now out for the season.
Yep.
With the knee injury, and the narrative now in Cleveland and around the NFL, because of the way Baker Mayfield played the rest of that game, and we've talked to other people about this, is with Odell out of there, I think we talked to Rex about this, right? With Odell out of there, Baker Mayfield seemed like a different quarterback, where he wasn't so locked in, focused, or feeling the pressure to involve Odell, and was able to spread the ball around and just looked a lot better. And Baker hates that narrative. In fact, he talked about it, and we'll play it for you right now.
Well, one, I think it's just completely insensitive to a guy that just tore his ACL, so I'm not even going to comment on it. You never want to lose guys, and that's where I'm going to leave that one.
Do you feel that? I mean, he's got to say that publicly, but I mean, do you feel like that's a hard thing for a quarterback to say? Like, oh, I'm better because this guy's not here.
It does, and here's the problem, though. Like, for Odell, it was a natural out in his contract in 2021 that they can get a break from the contract. So, they can give him an injury settlement and send him on his way. I know we've been reporting for years that they want to trade him. It just didn't seem to work out. It seemed like they were pressing before that. Landry was the catch guy that caught all the balls. Him and Baker had a tremendous chemistry. And then when Odell came, we thought it was going to be a match made in heaven. Two teammates that have played with each other, so shouldn't be any jealousy. And it just hasn't worked out. And we know in these arguments who always wins out is the quarterback. So if the quarterback shows that he can produce more without Odell there, then Odell won't be back there. They'll have a natural out. They'll just have to give him an injury settlement. But his time was up because it was a natural clause in that contract for 2021, and we've been speaking about it for years.
Well, keep an eye on how things go this week for Cleveland. All right. So did you see this? So Gronkowski, after last week's game for the Bucs, he talked about his touchdown celebration and the pass on that touchdown he caught. Obviously for him, a return to the NFL. From Tom Brady, he said, It's like a saying my mom used to say, it must be maple syrup because butter don't drizzle like that. You don't get time to react, all that stuff.
Yo.
He's bringing syrup in on passes from Tom Brady. So he explained the whole syrup reference here.
it's kind of saying, you know, you gotta just take it how it sounds sometimes. You know, you don't got much time to react. And syrup drizzles, you got to make that play. And a stick of butter, it's a block. You got to put it in the microwave to melt it. That just takes too long. You got to make that play right away, baby. And you know, that's why I'm like the maple syrup. That's why she used to always say that, because quick with it. I just drizzle all over the place.
Well, what the hell is quick about syrup?
Phrasing. Did you hear? Wait. That last part.
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore.
So apparently his mom used to say, "I'm quick with it because I just drizzle all over the place."
Yo, that is so many runs in.
That's going to a place, man. I don't know if I'm comfortable talking about.
Grunks thinks on a whole different level that we can't. Like, I'll just put it like that. He's so far ahead of us.
This was Blitz and Prevent. Would you prevent that? I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, man. Grunk, man, listen. Syrup is slow as hell, man.
True.
Syrup is like honey. It moves slow as hell. You can pour syrup. It takes forever to move. It ain't liquid. Like, it. Syrup and jelly. What's he trying to say? Must be jelly because jam don't shake like that?
Well, he's saying it must be syrup because butter don't drizzle like that.
But that's a playoff of must be jelly because jam don't shake like that.
Shake like that, yeah. But the whole I'm quick with it, I drizzle all over the place is.
It's nothing quick about syrup. Syrup is slow.
It's grown. It's grown. And that's Anthony right now in the control room. So let's move on to the NBA. You heard Spike talk about it. Obviously, Daryl Morey taking the job in Philly with Doc Rivers as the head coach there. All right, so a lot of changes at the top of that organization. Makes you wonder now what's going to happen to the roster. Interesting take by Stephen A. this morning on First Take about James Harden. Take a listen.
First thing I'm trying to do is get James Harden to become a Philadelphia 76er. Even if it means me trading Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. Let me say this again. I love me some Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. I know how elite defensively he is. He's only 24 years of age, 6'10". Ooh. You know, plays defense the way that he does. The basketball IQ, the basketball ability. But I will remind everybody, while we sit here and we lament the state of affairs with the Houston Rockets and all of this other stuff, let me remind everybody that for the last 3 years, James Harden has averaged 30, 36, and 34. The last 5 years, he's averaged at least 29. We know he got a handle. We know he got a shot. We know he's a scoring machine. He's a magician, okay? And the opportunity to pair him with somebody like a Joel Embiid, when you have the Tobias Harrises of the world and Thybul and all of these guys, when you look at what they have in place.
He just said Thybul and all of these guys. I love Steve. I tell you what, though, I like the take. First of all, because it means the Sixers will stay right where they are, which is basically a second round team exit.
Oh, you hate her
mediocre
so much.
Nah, I'm messing. No, it's. I think it'd be interesting how he works with Embiid would be interesting. However, because you could do a lot of screen roll like he did with Clint Capella, but it could also be pick and pop stuff because Embiid can do that. Those two could be a lot more lethal because Harden can shoot the three and takes a lot of them. So it's an interesting take. However, now let's add to this, Bart, and then, of course, I'll let you then comment once we get the whole story. Add to it now that if you do that and send Simmons, this is all hypothetical, but it's interesting. Send Simmons to Houston. Now what do you do with Russell Westbrook? Because Russell Westbrook, it's two guys who aren't great outside shooters who need the basketball in their hand. You can't do that. So here's Jay Will on KJZ about Russell, what you could do with Russell Westbrook.
If you're your Knicks, what are you willing to give up? I mean, you're willing to give up a lot of stuff. You're willing to give up Alfred Payton, Bobby Portis, throw Kevin Knox in there, throw a second-round pick, throw a first-round pick in 2022. You're willing to make moves in order to wheel and deal. And then if you're Houston, if you're using that and some of those pieces come off the books, you know, what other big-time free agent could you target? Could you go after? I don't know what the answers are right now, but it still seems like there's so many moving parts, right? Like, it felt like Ty Lue was supposed to be the guy to go to Houston. That didn't work out. Really happy for Coach Silas. First head coaching opportunity, right? He's been assistant coach in the league for 20 years. Incredible pedigree. But at the same time, you're having two guys who people expect to win yesterday. The whole narrative on James Harden is he's the guy that can do it for you throughout the regular season but can't do it to you in the playoffs. So if you're James Harden, you're getting to that point. You know, how much longer do I give time here in Houston?
It's interesting if you think about it. They hire Silas, who's a lot of people are high on, but an experienced coach. Are you bringing him in to coach a rebuild or a younger group? And if that's the case, getting a guy like Ben Simmons, getting some assets from the Knicks to help, you know, jumpstart that rebuild would be a real interesting scenario in Houston, and obviously a major impact in the East. What do you think?
So who did Daryl Morey trade? He traded who? He traded Clint Capella, right? Who was a nice player, right?
A real nice player.
Because he don't like big men. So why the hell would he trade Ben Simmons, who is a big man but an athletic point forward or point whatever you want to call? I think that he may want to trade one of those guys, but I would get rid of Embiid because I feel like Simmons has the longer shelf life because I don't worry about his health. I don't worry about his knees. I don't worry about his injury history. So if that's the case, I keep Simmons. I'm sending Simmons to Golden State.
Oh, you mean Embiid?
I'm sending Embiid to Golden State. Keeping Simmons. I'll take Wiggins. I'll take that first round draft pick, the number two overall pick, and then I'll switch it up that way. I mean, if you do decide to go there, I like the pairing of Al Horford as my stretch big, right? And I like the fact that I'll have Harding with Simmons who can take some of the pressure off of him and be the point forward when Harden is tired and somebody that's going to go crash the boards and don't care about taking shots and allow James Harden to put up as many three-pointers as he wants because he'll crash the boards. So I like Tobias
and
Harris.
Defend.
Right. So I like Tobias Harris with the fact that Embiid or that Simmons would be the guy that checks a guy like LeBron. He'll be a guy that checks Kevin Durant. He's that big guy that can stay with them. So I'd much rather get rid of Embiid, let Embiid go over there where they have all the shooters in the world where he can be happy and be able to trade it. I'll do a three-team trade and do it that way.
See,
so
to
take
me,
that,
those,
Jay Will.
But no, I like it. But those are two deals that really shake the league, doesn't it? Like
yes.
An Embiid to the Warriors for
it's
the
gonna
two,
make LeBron
for the two overall.
Protest.
Wiggins, the Philly gets younger. Get you know, but gets the two, you know, like that. Oh, man,
you got Doc with Wiggins. Doc can coach a guy like
Wiggins. But does Doc want to have to deal with a younger team? Is the question.
But you still have
you
Simmons.
Take that job,
Al Horford and Tobias Harris ain't young. These are older guys that he's already coached.
But Al Horford with Harden would be a real interesting thing as well because you do have he is a good defender. Now, he's older, but he didn't fit with Embiid, but he showed you in Boston that he was the backbone of that team's defense. He's a smart player, and he can shoot the three to spread. Simmons would then have to go to the four, but he'd have to learn how to play without the ball. I don't know if he likes that, though. That's the one issue.
No, but he takes time off. He can bring it up at times when you take your point guard off the court. That's when he takes over, just like AD takes over when LeBron ain't on the court. Now the offense runs through him.
It's interesting, man, right? Like there's something about that I feel like Philly, by bringing in Morey, is sort of become the starting point of any movement. Or I should say maybe the Rockets. It's either the Rockets or Philly will almost like be like – it's like the – What's the horn at the beginning of the horse race, right?
Exactly.
You know what?
Like,
I don't know.
Like that's
tell you what. Tell you what.
Say.
If I'm the Knicks, I'm saying okay, I'll take a contract because clearly they're if Harden's gone, then they're trying to restart, so then they got to figure out what to do with Westbrook. They can trade him later in the season.
Yeah.
If I'm the Knicks, I don't want Harden. I want Aaron Gordon. I love his defense.
I just want a fair chance, man.
I love his ability. I love the way he can shoot. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that he's able to facilitate and fit in. So now I love to have him as a guy that can shoot and spread the court. You bring Westbrook over here, he can't damn shoot. The lane going to be still clogged up. You have Gordon, he going to spot up and give you that shooting that you need.
See, I'm also mad at Anthony because he knew exactly what I was referencing. He could have just played the drop.
Just
he
Google it.
He could have played the Belmont thing when we do Belmont or Saratoga. Yep. Right? We know exactly what that sounds. It's
really?
Naira. It's Naira and the horns that you know this means that the race is about to begin. And he just won't play it, even though I keep telling him to. He won't do it. This is bad teammate right now, making me look bad.
Yeah, man.
He knows exactly what I'm talking
about. Bit of misery. Dilly dilly.
See this? He won't do it. It's Naira. When I say Naira, there's those horns, and you play them. How dare you?
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, Bart, as we begin week 8 in the NFL, and tonight's Thursday night game, your Falcons versus the Panthers. And so we'll put a team together from this lineup, and Carolina's offense is real interesting. So Mike Davis will be our MVP tonight, the running back. He's done very well. You mentioned him earlier in the show.
Yes, sir.
Somebody that if you were a fantasy owner, if you picked him up, you were smart. We add to it Calvin Ridley from Atlanta, who's really emerged there. Robbie Anderson, Jets fans, you don't want to look where he ranks when it comes to yards this season with Carolina. Then we'll go with my man Teddy Bridgewater as well as one of the flexes, quarterback. He's done very well. And Russell Gage, the wide receiver from Atlanta, will add him to it as well. So I like that. It could be some fireworks in this game. Could be a good Thursday night game. And we'll keep an eye on that. And, you know, we opened the show with the news about the COVID issues that the Giants are now dealing with. Will Hernandez, reports say, tested positive. He was sent home along with the other offensive linemen that he has been in contact with. They're doing their meetings virtually today. They don't play till Monday. But if Will Hernandez tested positive, then Barty's not going to be able to play on Monday night against the Bucs.
Unless you're Nick Saban.
Yeah, I guess they'd have to find it to be a false positive if they come up with two more tests or whatever it is that it takes to allow him to play. But that's, you know, that's where that is right now. And, of course, for the Giants, I mean, it's one of the few positions they could afford. They aren't very deep anywhere, but they can't afford to lose anybody off that offensive line. They lose him, so he would be out of it. So, like I said, this is week 8, and there are a lot of interesting matchups, and we'll get into a lot of them tomorrow when we break down the NFL and get ready for the weekend. But we can't not overlook the fact that this could be the last weekend where some teams look the way they look, because the trade deadline is on the other side of this thing.
Yeah, sorry to
start. And it's really interesting. Do you think, because we've already seen, like you said, we've seen some teams already make decisions. The Cowboys look like they're blowing stuff up. Can you see that there? Do you think there's going to be, from what you see or what you hear, do you think it's going to be a busy trade deadline in the NFL with some teams maybe looking to get rid of some contract or try to get some draft assets at all, or teams loading up, seeing opportunity? I mean, the NFC East is so up for grabs. The Eagles have players they probably should unload, but I don't know if they will to get under the cap. But I don't think they will, because somebody's got to win that division.
Yeah, I tell you what, but you know, it's one thing to win a division, but it's one thing to not have perspective and understand that you're not a legitimate threat to do anything in the playoffs. It's one of those things. Oh yeah, you can say getting the playoffs is a good experience. This is a team. These are veteran teams that have been there. A name to watch for the Jets, because I see it was reports that they were trying to get rid of him, maybe to the Ravens. The fact that Zach Ertz hasn't got paid, and he's been complaining about, you know, how they don't like him and complaining about how they're $64 million over the cap, right? They're $64 million over the cap next year. Remember, you heard it here first. Joe Douglas came from where?
Philly and Baltimore.
No, where did he come from after that? Philadelphia.
I said Philly and Baltimore.
You cut out. So Philadelphia, right? So yeah. Philadelphia's right there. You got a disgruntled top three tight end that's going to be available because they're $64 million over the cap. Watch Joe Douglas, if he gets a free agency, go for that type of player. And bye-bye Herndon, Sam Darnold, whoever you got arguably the top five tight end in the game, and that's where you build from. Mims, Ertz, and Crowder.
Perriman,
maybe. You know, Perriman's on a 1 year, so he could be
gone. That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, so imagine this, Jet fans. You want some hope? There's some hope for your ass. We heard that reports that Galladay was up for grabs because the Lions haven't paid him and thought that the Giants looked at him. Okay, so if I can't get Galladay to pair with Crowder, Ertz, and Mims, then I'm going to say, well, guess what? Give me Juju Smith-Schuster, give me Mims, give me Ertz, and give me Crowder, and we got something to work with. And I'm spending all my equity on that offensive line, and all them dudes that I got in the inside of that offensive line got to go bye-bye.
You think Will Fuller could be available?
Will Fuller's
definitely. He's on his fifth year in Houston. They got to make a decision with him.
Problem with him. Always
injuries.
Damn hurt.
But not
always
this year.
Hurt. Yeah, because it's money time. As soon as you give him the money, you're going to get hurt again. Yeah. I mean, Kenny Stills, you can get him. He's a cheap man's Will Fuller. So okay. I understand that he's a deep threat, but that's what you got Mims for, a big deep threat. Give me somebody that can that's a professional receiver. Give me Kenny Galladay, who's a star in Detroit. Or give me – I'd rather have Ertz because he's going to give you the most because he's proven it over a long time. How much time we got? I want to make sure I talk past
No, you got plenty. No, I love this because you're giving us some good nuggets here. So you're not saying that the Jets would make a move
No, I'm
on
not giving
Ertz
them nothing.
Now. You're saying
– You're $64 million over the cap, bro.
The Eagles are.
Yeah, next year, reportedly $64 million. Yeah, well,
that's why the thinking is that they almost should have to make moves at the deadline to get these contracts out of the way.
But the
while they can
Ertz
still get
hurt.
Something for them. Because, I know he's hurt. He's so not going to help anybody.
So he's hurt. No, he's hurt. So you can't move a hurt player because he won't pass the physical. You don't know what the hell's wrong with him. So that's great. Don't be Jets. Do not be the Knicks.
Overlooked that part.
Jets. Don't be the Knicks. Don't be the Knicks. Don't trade for somebody that you can get in free agency and give up draft capital when you can get this dude because you have a personal relationship with him next year.
That's interesting. No, I look.
Get him in 5 months.
Yeah, that's an absolutely
and give him
great
the Le'Veon
name.
Bell money. Give him the Le'Veon Bell money that comes off the book. Get Zach Ertz and then go get Juju or Galladay.
I like it. All right, Rick, quickly, we'll take Chris in Manhattan on this. Hey, Chris.
Hey, fellas. Look, man, Bark, you got me dancing right now. I'm right with everything that you're talking about with the with free agency. I was talking with Larry Hardesty last night about this. One more name as far as wide receiver, Chris Godwin. Is that a possibility? And then I need to know about these edges. I'm looking at like a Bud Dupree or like Matt Judon or
This is the thing. They can't pay Bud Dupree and pay T.J. Watt, who's right behind him. So you can't pay Bud Dupree because that means you lose to J.J. Watt. I mean, mm-hmm. T.J. Watt the next year, who's the better of the two. Bud Dupree just really came on the last 2 years. So you got Bud Dupree. You got Clowney. You got Shaq Barrett. You got Juju Smith-Schuster. You got Ngakoue. You're going to be able to spin and get that. Go get me Zach Ertz and go get me a guy.
This is what we're going to do, Bart. We're going to do this. No, no, it's fine. I think we need to do a little bit of that with you either today or on trade deadline day. We need to talk about like moves that you would make or could make. That's what I think we should do because you've got a lot of info to give. I could feel it. I got to get that out of you. K-Show 20 and 20 contest. It starts today. Remember, 3 o'clock. Listen for your chance to win 20 great prizes over 20 days. Make your home and life a little more enjoyable. The 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richardson, Kansas City Steak, Bartesian Premiums, Cocktails on Demand at 98.7 ESPN. Bart, great job. See you tomorrow.
I holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.